Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been elsewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Love is Blind, Season 9, Denver. Recap of Episodes 3 and 4. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Let's get to this Mission Impossible that's happening in Episodes 3 and 4, beginning with the Ghosted.
Yeah.
Mr. Patrick. Because he realizes that he got ghosted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's where the thing that really upset me about this last time, they let him get ghosted. But here's the problem as we get to episode 3. Blake is getting ready to go on his date.
Yeah.
Why did the producers give him a heads up?
Not only did they give him a heads up, they gave him a heads up in the men's quarters. He didn't have to go into the pod to go, hello?
Right.
Hello? Patrick did. Exactly. Patrick even came out and was like, hey, no one's in here. And they're just like, go back in. Go back in. We're still filming. Just go back in. She'll be there. Yeah. So he goes back in waiting. Hello? But with Blake, they were like, hey, Blake, before you go to the room, heads up. Anna left. So I thought that was totally messed up.
Would that be considered privilege?
It could be. It's Denver. So they're like, hey.
Denver privilege.
We can't let our boy Blake go out like that, but this dude, Chinese and Cambodian, yeah, let him go and keep just hang out.
Matt A says, I'll give you one guess. Talia C, they knew damn well she was there. Exactly. And Mimi, yeah. Absolutely. We all hated the fact that they played Patrick like that, but told Blake, we'll give him his name, before he was embarrassed. Yeah. That was terrible.
I thought that was really messed up. And I can't wait for the reunion because I'm sure this is going to come up. If Nick and Vanessa don't ask about this to Patrick, I'm going to be mad at these reunions.
You know, the thing about it, the thing about privilege is those who have it really don't know that they have it.
Nick, yeah.
Notice.
He's, what? What's the big deal?
Hey, Mimi says, they know. They know. We'll see if they know. We'll see if they actually know.
I don't know about you, but every time I see Blake, I think of that Key and Peele skit. Blake. Uh-huh. Blake. Balaki.
Oh, my God. Let's get to it, man. Because, you know, the next thing that did pop up was, and it's before this next date, your boy, Mike, he was telling a story about an ex.
Yeah.
To the guys.
Yeah.
Was there something off about this story?
It was, because Edmund asked him, you know, Mike, do you have any female friends? And he was like, yeah, do you have female friends that you used to be involved with or sleep with? And Mike got really quiet. And it was like, oh, so then he tells the story that he has this person that they dated. He said 5 years ago that she even has a boyfriend now, but she still comes to his house to sauna with him. Well, at least she did until this aired. So.
Until last week, she was coming over to sauna with him.
Yeah. Until last week. Yeah, her boyfriend probably into that.
That was kind of wild. I was like, and the ladies are not feeling that. Okay, wait a minute. Because Lady J, you say Mike is trash. Is he or is she? Because she's the one in the relationship, not him.
Yeah, he can't sauna with his friend. They're just, he can't just sit in a bathing suit in a hot sauna with his friend. What's wrong with that?
He doesn't want her to pay for the health club membership. Here, use mine. That's one stipulation.
Yeah, I'm going in there anyway. You might as well.
J. Marie, sauna is what we're calling it these days. You call it whatever you want. Why are we mad at Mike? Yes, Gwen, Mike is arrogant, right? Pink Butterfly says Mike seems, and I get it, he does. But is it really his fault if his ex, who's in a relationship, comes to sauna with him?
Okay, come on now. Let's be honest with ourselves. He has the power of choice. He could be like, no, you're in a relationship. I don't think this is appropriate. Because let Mike have a girlfriend that goes to sauna with her ex.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to see a different side of Mike.
The side we know that's there.
Yeah. We're going to see a total different side of Mike. It's going to be Texas Chainsaw Massacre Mike.
It's funny you should say that because we do get a peek into a little bit more about Mike's personality when we see him on his dates with Megan, right? It's interesting because Mike starts talking about health.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like he, started taking shots at Jordan a little bit, trying to, you know, because again, he does know Megan's talking to Jordan. She's going on dates with him.
I don't think he was taking shots at all. I think that one of the things they aligned on their first couple dates is that they're both into, you know, fitness, being, you know, living a good, healthy lifestyle, talking about having children and, you know, how important it would be for them to have a good, healthy lifestyle with the kids. And then he brings up, because there's a guy in the pod that has a son and has diabetes. I just could imagine them going through that. But this is why I believe it's so important to focus on health and nutrition. I don't think it was a jab at Jordan. I just think it was just more along the lines of what they were talking about.
I see why you would say that. And it may not be a direct jab, but he's trying to make himself still look better by trying to make somebody else look bad, right? And it doesn't help when he starts talking about the fact that he still talks to his exes, because Megan is like, yeah, well, I don't follow any of my exes. Okay, maybe one, but he's on mute.
Is that bad?
Yes.
Is it so, like, if you have an ex, you should just cut all social media ties?
If you're why put somebody on mute and not just unfollow? And if there's no friendship happening in the immediate, then why even bother? Why y'all following each other stuff? If you're cool with them, cool. If you're cool with them from the, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if there's temptation.
I get it. I mean, I find it odd that she has one ex that she follows, but he's on mute, so he can't message her back. I'm like, what's the point? Which to me, I think she just wants to keep an eye on him to see what's going on, what updates he has. And I'd rather block you. So that way you don't have to worry about what I'm doing. We're not together. You don't have to worry about me.
You know what it is? That's the broke guy that she was dating that she needs, that she's helping up.
The young guy. The young guy, just wants to see how he's, maybe he needs a few dollars.
Now, did you believe Mike when he told Megan that he told everyone that he's in love with her?
I don't have anything, I don't have a reason to not believe Mike, but maybe that's what he was feeling. Who knows?
Okay. Well, next we get to see Jordan and Megan on a date. And as she's getting ready to go on this date with Jordan, Megan is contemplating friend zoning him. So she's walking in with the intention. Get in the back seat, brother. That's what he's saying.
Oh, I think so, too, which it says something about their connection, because Jordan was. I think Jordan got points with her when he started talking about how he drives a modest car and a modest apartment, but likes to spend money on like good food, trips, clothes. Like, so it's not that he's frugal or cheap, but he's also a dad. So he has to be mindful of this money, but he's not like, I think that made her realize, okay, for him, this whole car thing is maybe not that big a deal, because at least he would go all out on some of these other things. So he's not like broke. I'm thinking maybe that's how she felt.
I'm glad that you see it that way. The thing I look at is when she says the thing, when they start talking about the purpose in life, she asked him, what's your purpose in life? And he's like, yeah, you know, he didn't really want to have kids, but once I had a son, all the things I used to do that I like to do, they don't matter anymore. What he wants to do, what I like to get, doesn't matter. I get him what he wants. And I think that sort of selflessness is what kind of made her turn. Because she kind of started just like, wait a minute. And she walked out of that of that date so confused, because even when it comes up to the vasectomy conversation, it comes up again, and Jordan says, hey, look, let me just be honest with you. It's not 100% reversible.
Yeah.
So what if we get together, you want a kid, and it doesn't work?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, if it's God's will.
Jordan lost me on the, it's not 100%. I'm like, okay, Jordan, you can say the same thing about condoms. Yeah. Are you going to say, hey, I need to put a condom on? Well, you know, 99%. It's not 100%. 99%. But there's that 1%. So let's have a conversation about it. Obviously, he has a kid, so he didn't have that conversation. So I don't.
I do like, and here's the thing, and parents will get this too. This is another part I think probably tickled her heart a little bit. When Jordan said that he tells his son, Luca, he loves him so much that he's like, Dad, why do you keep saying that? You know, why do you say that so much? Which every parent, okay, that's an overreach. Most parents.
Good parents.
All good parents.
Yeah, all good parents.
we'll tell their kids, I love you so many times. And the kid's like, what? What's about to happen? What did you do wrong, Mom? What did you do wrong, Dad? Yeah. So I like, and I think that shows the heart that made her just kind of melt, because she's with the girls back in the women's quarters, and she's completely surprised and tells them that, like,
yeah,
he's not somebody I would have gone with in the outside world.
Which, again, she's figured that out about him.
Mm-hmm.
That he's totally opposite of what she normally dates, which is why I think this is great for her. This experiment is great for her. And, you know, she could easily go with a Mike, who she normally goes with, but she's entertaining some different people. So I think it's great that she's doing that. And I'm glad that she was surprised and didn't go ahead and friend zone him exactly. on that date.
By the way, CXM says, I must be a bad parent.
Depends on what you call bad.
By the way, YouTube channel member Karen says, I want to know why Jordan had the vasectomy with only one child, because I've noticed that come up last review and this one as well, too. See, coming up a couple of times, the story, he says, getting a vasectomy at 25 is interesting. At least he's being responsible.
It is, but it's still odd, in my opinion.
I'm not saying it's not odd. It's just
I just find it odd that, okay, you slip one past the goalie one time, and now you're like, snip it, Doc. 25?
Have you ever had a scare? Have you ever had a scare before and think like, hmm?
Yes, I have had a scare before and had a real thing before. I guess it wasn't in God's plan, so it didn't work.
Story time. We get to 8,000 subscribers, we'll get to that story. Next up, Blake and Megan, because Megan is saying that Blake is still her number one, right?
Yeah.
But then she goes to go on the date with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it's just Megan.
Yeah.
There's no Blake.
Hello? Hello? You know, here's what's interesting is maybe, just maybe, it's not about privilege, because they let Megan go into the pod and listening for Blake, and he never showed. They let her do that. They knew he left.
Okay. Megan is not a white man. She is part of the DEI. I don't think you realize that. Everybody thinks DEI means black.
So what you're saying is, with Love is Blind, it's kind of like how we do here in the state of Texas. White men, brown men, women. Any color.
And then underneath all of that, black.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing, though. So as I was watching this the first time, right, I fell asleep. And I think probably near the end of episode 2. And then all of a sudden, deep in my sleep, I hear, hello? 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 I'm like, what the hell's going on? What am I dreaming? Now open my eyes and I see her do this last hello, and then she walks out the door. Did you feel bad for her that she got ghosted too?
I feel bad for anybody that gets ghosted. It sucks. Especially in this experiment. It really sucks, because you're really bonding, you're opening up, and you're sharing with somebody, and you're supposed to have a date. And he was her number one. The one thing, if she was going in the friend zone, Blake, and he ghosted her, well, she's not gonna be upset. He was her number one. And so what happened once she, in her little interview after she realized he had left, she's like, look, if he's not feeling it, that's fine, but just say that and show up. So the thing is, she doesn't know why
he left.
No. And that's what makes it sucky. He could have just went in and be like, hey, look, I'm gonna go ahead and eliminate myself.
Yep,
I'm out. You're great. It has nothing to do with you. But I think that gets in the other person, when you ghost somebody, it just gets in their head. And I don't think that's fair.
It's definitely not fair. Do we give Blake anything? As he's talking to the producer, he can't go on. He doesn't think he can continue. Anything?
I think it's weak. I think it's weak just because Anna left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just weak. And then he's like, you know, then when he said that, I'm the kind of guy that just needs more time. Well, then you shouldn't have signed up for a show where you're supposed to get engaged in 2 weeks.
Here's the other thing, too. This is why they should have let him go in the pod, because had he gone in the pod, he probably wouldn't have stood. He probably wouldn't have ghosted Megan like that, because he would understand how bad that feels.
Yeah.
Or he might have still done it. Who knows?
He could have gave the producers a note. Hey, can you give this to Megan? Just to let her know, I got to go.
Anything. All right. Well, back to who's still there. Jordan. Another date with him and Megan. And when he enters the room, it almost feels like he I was like, is there really a ghost protocol going on? What's happening? Is there a ghost epidemic? A ghost pandemic happening here? What's really going on? But no, actually it isn't. Megan enters and then she tells him that Blake ghosted her.
And he's like, yeah, what an ass. Like, I can't believe he did that. And then he goes to put his game down.
Right.
Which, smart.
So good. Yeah, smart move. Why? Somebody else messed up. You step right in. But he does it such a good job, feels so good coming out of that date that he goes back to the men's quarters. He's on cloud nine talking about Megan. And when he comes in like that, did you catch Mike giving Patrick the signal like triangle, you know, letting him know, like, okay, that's my connection too.
Yeah. And Mike's just listening to it all. And Mike is just like, I still don't think Jordan is any competition to me. Megan's going to pick me.
Speaking of Mike, we see him back out with Megan again. And he teases her. Now, this is the big difference between Mike and Jordan. As you see, he teases her about getting ghosted. But to be fair, would you have teased her too?
I don't know. I don't know if I would have, to be honest. I don't know if I would have. I just don't know if I would have because I know it sucks to be ghosted. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'd go in and tease. I might go in and say, hey, so I heard about Blake. You okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
I might have started it that way, but I don't think I'd be like, so Blake ghosted you, huh? No, I wouldn't make fun of it.
YouTube channel member Sly says, no, Terrell, you would have come in and said, what's up? Boo.
Boo. Like, Terrell, what are you doing? I'm ghosting you. Boo.
At least you would have laughed.
I'm just, yeah. No.
What's funny is that he then goes on. This is Mike gets a little too comfortable because he now realizes, okay, it's just me and one other person. I know I'm better than that guy. And his cockiness really comes out. When people said he was arrogant, this is what it really shows because he starts making a comment like, he says, oh, I know who you're dating. She's like, oh, and because he even says, what? You're dating two guys that are trouble. Mm-hmm. Then when she's like, wait, do you know who I'm dating right now? He's like, oh, no, I don't. You want to tell me?
And then he's like, I just know you like trouble. And then he's like, look, I already know. I just want to know if you're going to tell me.
I do like how Megan tells Mike that he reminds her of some of her exes and that could be a problem. And I like that she even said that to him because she realized how arrogant he's being, right?
Yeah.
It's knocking down a notch or two.
Well, I think it does. I think she's picking up, hey, this sounds so familiar. Mm-hmm. Like all the other dudes I've dated are this type of guy through the wall. Yeah. And I think it's great that she told him it's kind of nerve-wracking because she's being honest with where she's at. And then, of course, Mike tries to say he's not like her exes where you don't know her exes, so you can't really say that.
Right.
You are like her exes. She's telling you. That's like someone, Terrell, you look familiar. No, I don't.
Yeah. Because you don't look familiar. I don't look familiar.
Yeah.
Jay Marie says, so Mike admits he's trouble. Megan, run, girl. Agree?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And why are you trying to say Jordan's trouble? What makes Jordan trouble? Just because he has a lot of tattoos and a kid?
Yeah. Robin says, with Mike teasing like that, exposing how insecure he is by reducing others. Very true.
Yeah.
Because here's the next thing Mike does on the next date, which I think is really, this is where I think he hit the low.
Yeah.
Because he asked Megan if she likes tattoos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which she then says, why? Do you have tattoos? Mike is not as smart as he thinks he is. Because then his response is, no.
Mm-hmm.
Then why the hell did you
ask? Why would you ask? Why would you ask?
Yes.
I know he was teasing, referring to Jordan. Mm-hmm. And then he said, this is the thing that I think, Megan, you got to run. When he said, you don't put a bumper sticker on a Ferrari. That's right there, the line that you should have said, you know what? Friend zone.
Okay, but that line is very specific for a reason. Because then right after that, what does he say? You know, I don't care what kind of car you drive. Remember, that's the running joke with Jordan and Megan. He exposed himself on this date. He is a little too sure of himself. And I think that this is the problem because then they start talking about past dating life. And Megan tells him some information that I think kind of brings him down a notch, or at least puts him back in his place, right? When she says she used to date an older guy who's a near billionaire.
Yeah.
If Mike is always leading with the money and everything else, his apartment and his sauna and his, you know, whatever it is, this should tell him that ain't going to work, right?
100% should, because she's letting him know, I've been around dudes that have a lot of money. It's not the issue, because the near billionaire was shitty to be with, as she said, because he worked all the time. Mm-hmm. And so the way that he showed her affection and attention was take her out to eat, buy her a gift, have some sex. All right, I'm going to work. Like, it's just very transactional.
Yes.
You know, not a connection. I think she's wanting something deeper. And then she went total opposite and dated a young dude who had no money and probably was a little fixer-upper that she probably cleaned up and bought him some stuff, but then realized he's not ready to have babies and to make anything really serious. And she's 33. So hopefully Mike gets the picture that your money deal and all that stuff doesn't impress her.
She showed her. I've been on both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
It don't mean nothing. I left both of them. So,
yeah. Well, I think Mike tried to get into his freaky side. He's like, all right, well, I can't wait to tie Megan to the bed. And that's as soon as he said that, I was like, I knew it. He has a 50 Shades vibe to him. I was like, that's what the issue is with you. Looking at you, you got a dungeon. You got a sex dungeon. By the next to the sauna is a sex dungeon.
Of course. You gotta steam it first. Do you agree with the YouTube channel member Angie0708 who says Mike wanted her to chase him? Very arrogant.
I think that's probably what he's used to. And I don't know why I put it at arrogance. I put it as just his confidence level, because if he's used to women being drawn to him, then he's got to expect that. So think of like your high school quarterback superstar that goes off to college, superstar college quarterback. He's used to women being drawn to him. So I think maybe that's Mike.
Yeah, very true. We get Jordan and Megan again. It's just this back and forth, right? And I noticed that Megan is the one that brings it up. We're in a love triangle. Do you think Jordan really didn't know?
Honestly, I don't think he did. Yeah, I don't think he did until that point.
Then she asked him about the tattoos, which, again, this is all Mike's fault. Mike brought this to the table. And Jordan lies.
Big
lie. Or is it just a little white lie?
Yeah, no, I have a couple small ones. No, that's a big lie. You got arms, both legs, like you, who knows? He could have someone's torso, but that was a big lie.
No, he actually has them in the palm of his hands, too.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Wow. I like the fact that she does tell him, though, hey, I wouldn't have given you the time of day in the real world.
Yeah.
And then she gets a little emotional when they start talking about Luca. Why?
Yeah. I love this part, because she was saying that because of her dad having type 1 diabetes and passing away, she's very familiar with it. And she says she's experienced with diabetes and can step into a role to help Luca, which tells me she's looking at Jordan like a package deal. Like it's Jordan and there's Luca. I have to really be into both, which is the hard thing about dating somebody with a kid. Like you have to really look at that. Mm-hmm. And she's factoring all that in. And then I love what Jordan said, is that I have no expectations for you to help with Luca. Just love him. That's awesome.
And then she goes from that, you know, sappy, emotional moment to, you know, you're giving BDE. Then Jordan does what I always do. Hey, hold up. Let's lower expectations. No, it's more like SDE. Lower the expectations. Hold up now. Lower these expectations.
I wouldn't have done that. I'm like, what? Yeah. Yep.
It didn't hurt him.
I'm not going to lie on myself. I'm not going to do that.
You say, I'm not going to lie on myself.
I have a ruler. That was a lie. I have a ruler in my bathroom.
Yeah, but your ruler is only 6 inches long.
Because you got to go here, then you bring it around, and you're like 6 plus.
Oh, man, appreciate everybody who's in here right now. Do us a favor. Whether you are watching this right now as part of the live crew or watching this later as part of Replay Gang, do us a favor. Please hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. And for those listening, doing the audio version on your favorite podcast platform, do us a favor. Like, follow, and also do us a favor. If you like what you hear, give us that 5-star rating and leave a review, okay? We would greatly appreciate it. And by the way, Ed says, yeah, undersell, then overdeliver.
Exactly.
Before we move on, I got to ask this because the Rebel Sunflower says Jordan is a gold digger. He's got star in his eyes for Megan's money. You think
really?
I didn't get that vibe.
I don't get that vibe from him. No. I don't get that vibe from him that he's a gold digger just trying to get her money. No, I didn't get that.
I didn't get that, but you know, you were the one saying he gave broke by asking about her car, but okay.
Yeah, he did. But I don't think he's like, ooh, so you drive what? Oh, I'm about to come up. Me and Luca about to ball.
And by the way, thank you, Robin, who said she left a 5-star review a while back and will do again. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Definitely do appreciate it. Next couple up is actually a meetup. It's our second engagement, Joe and Madison. Now,
Joe the recruiter.
You like Joe because you have an affinity to Joe because he's a recruiter.
Exactly.
Can you please translate this from the recruiter lingo that there is, you know, that language you guys speak when he says, I was not expecting this. It's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Okay. And the recruiter speak, it'd be, you know what? You weren't my first candidate that I'd have picked for this job. But there was just something about the conversations that we had told me to give you a chance. And I'm glad I did.
Is he though?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm a little wobbly on if he's fully attracted to her or not. Because he couldn't put the voice to the physical and all that. He's telling her she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But to say that she's not what he was expecting. Mm-hmm. Or suspecting that she looked like, I just wonder, does that mean he's not feeling her?
I don't think he likes what he sees in her, especially since he kept referring to her as that. That's a telltale sign in any lingo. Sly A says, this is a train wreck. Lisa says, Joe is a horrible individual. And by the way, Terrell, since you claim Joe and have this affinity since he's a recruiter, Toya C says, wait until episode 6, you won't be claiming him. We'll get there on Monday.
Yeah. We're not there yet. We're 3 and 4. This is where we're at.
She's like, but wait.
Yeah. Let me start over. Love is Blind recap season 9, Denver, episode 3 and 4.
Sly says Joe is lying hard. Yes. Materialistic says Monday going to be good. Yes. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Seriously, I can't wait. Can we just hit fast forward? Speaking of Monday, Edmund and KB, Calibria. Since we're on looks, this is actually perfect because Calibria asks, hey, so what if when we meet, I'm chunky or I'm 4'2 and wear size 11?
His responses were a little eager. Just, yeah, sure. And she goes, what if I'm this short and weigh this much and I have a big head? Or I guess we're going to have a lot of big head kids. And it's like, come on, man. Like, take it a little bit serious and really talk through it and think about that. Because what if she does look like that?
Calibria wrote a letter, a very deep and detailed letter.
It was a beautiful letter. It was. Okay. Yeah, it was a beautiful letter. Yeah. I mean, I didn't take a lot of notes on what she said because I don't like the sappy stuff. But but I thought it was a beautiful letter to really express how she truly feels about him. And, of course, that got him excited for him to propose.
What do you think of his proposal? You know, marry me, please.
Please. Please. Please. Let me ride that donkey, donkey. Let me ride that. Please. It
stop jumping ahead.
In true Edmund fashion, it's the only way that proposal could have went because Edmund is just extra.
Yeah.
And so I could see him doing that.
Oh, by the way, Sly says this is some nonsense. Close the pods. Damn, already? Back in the men's quarters, did you catch, as Edmund goes back to tell the guys that he got engaged, did you catch Jordan trying to do the gritty?
No, I didn't see that.
All right. If you missed it, go back and check it out. It's minute 38 of episode 3. It is hilarious. We get to the meetup of Edmund and Calibria, right? He can't wait to see her. He can't wait to smell her. And while we understand what he's saying, I can't help but think the next thing he's about to say is, I can't wait to wear her.
I was thinking he was gonna say kiss her, you know, something like
that. Yeah. Interesting, because they kind of ended episode 3 on the cliffhanger of the doors opening. We all know what we thought.
Yeah.
Were you surprised at her reaction at the start of episode 4 when the doors finally open all the way and we get to see and she sees him? Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was, because I thought she was going to be like, oh, no, like all the things that we've been talking about, right?
Yes.
He's just different. He has his own style, little Afro pick in the back.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, right?
Yeah.
But she, what she call him? Her chocolate king?
You're so handsome, my chocolate king.
Yeah.
And of course, Edmund starts crying. It's probably because, like Matt says. This meetup went a lot better than I thought it would. Even the passionate kisses that were in there, him jumping, you know, like his sprint back to his room to go get the ring.
The letter, that run.
Oh, my God. Like, this was a lot.
I mean, they're both attracted to each other. That's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
He did the look back and kept his eyes on her. So he is fully in. Mm-hmm. I just find it interesting that everything I've seen, I'm like, Calibri, why him? And maybe it's because he's different than anyone she's dated. And she's like, hey, I'm going full in on this experiment. And let me see.
Remember, that is what she said in the very beginning. She said her type hasn't worked in the past. So she's leaving her type behind to find love. So this makes sense. Even though Dorica is saying she felt gaslit by KB's reaction, like, am I missing something? You're missing the fact that she's leaving the past behind.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't worked in the past, and she's looking forward to the future.
Yeah. Good luck with that. That's great.
Ariana has a theory. Says KB just wanted to take him under her wing for a little bit. There's no way she's going to marry that man. And we got some episodes to find out.
Yeah, we shall see.
You said that they were attracted to each other, and Elsin is like, are they attracted, Terrell? Ariana says both attracted to each other? Huh?
But she called him my handsome chocolate king. To me, that's attraction. And then the way he was eyeing her was attraction. So yeah, I think they're both attracted to each other.
And your list keeper, Sly A, says, why would they cast this person? Why? High knees, booger eating, floor kissing, crying. I feel like we're getting punked.
It's good for TV. There's always a character. Every Love is Blind. There's always somebody.
Moving on to Patrick and Casey. Patrick says Casey's his number two. Mm-hmm. But since his number one is gone, he's now going to see if this can work with Casey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he right to do this?
Yes. That's the strategy. Because how many times have we watched Love is Blind where someone's number one moves to number three? And someone's number three moves to number one. I mean, yeah, you got to explore it. Your number one, she bailed. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think the reason Anna was his number one is because she was Asian. And that way he finally feels, I'm not going to get rejected for being Asian with another Asian woman.
And
right?
Until she rejected him.
And then she bounced on him. So now he's like, let me roll the dice on white.
Yeah, because he tells Mike Casey's his number one. And to me, it feels like he was trying to convince himself. So I get what you're saying, though, because that is, I felt like he was trying to stay on the show, but you're absolutely right. So I'll take another look at it. But this feels a little almost reversed in what's happening here. It feels like she's almost begging him from here on.
She's begging for reassurance. Mm-hmm. Like she wants to know that he's all about that, you know, really know how he feels about her. Patrick's concern is that he's not 100% certain how bad she wants this, like this whole process. Mm-hmm. Not so much how bad she wants him, it's just how bad she wants to get engaged and 4 weeks later get married.
I thought about the way he kept asking that, like, you know, because this is a serious commitment. I'm like, dude, she's the first time I'm watching this, I'm like, dude, she's telling you she's here. I want to know what we missed. That he's keeps saying that, because obviously something he's hearing is not make. Oh, is he just that analytical?
I think he's just that analytical, that he has to process everything, right? Mm-hmm. Almost kind of like, do you talk to a lot of engineers? It's almost like talking to an engineer. That's what Patrick reminds me of, because everything has to like make sense, and this is how this goes, and this is the process, and this is the step. He's trying to process this whole deal, and I think he's just overthinking it. But she told him that, I thought this was interesting. She said, if I didn't want this, then I'd have walked out 2 days ago. And he goes, oh, so you were thinking about leaving 2 days ago?
And that's what made me feel like he was being insecure.
Yeah. But well, he is insecure.
Okay.
I mean, he is insecure. I mean, he's totally insecure because, again, the whole Asian thing, he brought that up again with Casey. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And she's trying to say, hey, look, I'm not good. I'm going to love you for who you are. Da, 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 da. But he still keeps bringing that up. So I do think he has a lot of insecurities.
Materialistic says something ain't right about that boy also applies to Patrick, not just Edmund. Patrick said that he applied to Love is Blind, right? Which mm-hmm. Casey almost seemed a little surprised like that. But then she tells the story, like, you know, the show reached out to her, but then it was also about another show. And her boyfriend then told her to do it. And Patrick is like, well, and you didn't leave him then?
Hey, I'm thinking to myself, why would you tell Patrick that?
Right.
What is to gain from that story? Because it makes you look terrible.
Yes.
It makes you look terrible. So why mm-hmm. would you do that? And she's also the one that said everybody's cheated on her. So her self-esteem, and she has her self-esteem is low, and she has some serious insecurities, which to me does not make a good couple. Like, one has to be up, the other one could be down, but you help each other. You both can't be, you know, insecure about everything. But I just didn't understand why she would tell him that.
Did you understand when she said she doesn't know if she can fully love Patrick until she can touch him?
Yeah, my translation was, I can't fully love you until I can see how Asian you look. That's what I got from that.
Like Pink Butterfly says, then she goes to the sexual talk, which she gives the play-by-play 1-900 convo, and he just seems so disengaged. Like, okay, and then what? What else?
What else? What else are you going to do? Yeah, I mean, to me, that was the setup for, like, you know, not that I've had this, but that sounds like some phone sex is about to happen, or some pod sex is about to happen.
No, please, tell us,
through the wall. No, I'm just saying, it just sounds like, you know, from what I've heard, it sounds like that was about to be some phone sex conversation that they're going to have through the pod. But I do think Patrick is very cerebral, and that he's a thinker. He's very analytical. That doesn't move him. The fact that she's saying, I want to do this, I want to touch you here, and I'm going to sit on you, that doesn't get him excited.
Apparently, she's a pleaser and a freak, and the exes love that. So there's that. Now, they had another date after that. Mm-hmm. And Patrick tells Casey that he loves her. And mm-hmm. she responds in kind by saying, I really love you. Just, you know, make sure I one up you on this one. And she said never had someone be that make her feel so sure about her. You believe her?
Well, yeah, because everybody's cheated on her. So she probably has anybody that made her feel that special. But did you catch this when Patrick said what makes him nervous is that it's too good to be true? Mm. Yeah. And I'm making a note of that.
Yeah.
For future reference, but it's too good to be true, right? And I get his reservations, but she is overly into him, and I really love you. And she said that before I can say I love you, I have to touch you. Now it's like, I really love you.
Yes.
I'm skeptical.
That, you know what? I forgot about that line. As I saw this, I forgot about that. That is a great point. Because you still haven't been able to touch me yet. So what are you talking about?
Yeah. So now you really love me without touching me, huh? Okay.
Sly says, Patrick is nerdy, but I don't blame him for not engaging in the freaky talk on camera. But do we blame him for giving us the play-by-play on his proposal? All right, I'm putting the left foot forward. I'm going down on my right knee.
Like I said, engineer, process. I'm doing this step, I'm doing this step, and I'm doing this step.
What'd you think of Casey promising to love Patrick really hard?
No, that's a lot. I mean, 2 weeks talking in the pod, you can't promise to love somebody that hard. Mm-hmm. You can just say, I promise to try to love you and, you know, really make this work. That sounds more reasonable.
Yeah. It's Pink Butterfly says, who else is talking to her? Another pick me. This scares me about these two at this point. As I'm seeing this, I'm like, something's going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. So, interesting. Still more to go through. It's interesting as we get to these next quadrangle that's happening. Brendan and Annie. Annie reminds me of that. What's that movie with the AI doll?
Oh, Megan?
Yes.
That's funny.
As I look at her there, that's what I see. I'm just like, they have the affectionate conversation. Was supposed to be a good combo.
Yeah.
Why was this weird?
I think it was weird is because Annie feels she's validated him more than any other connection, but I don't think she's getting that from him. So even this affection conversation, she's still not getting like, this dude really wants me.
Right. Then Brendan asks her if she's obsessive with her person. Mm-hmm. Did her response warrant a yellow, orange, or red flag?
I call that a red flag. When she said yes, I was like, ooh, huge red flag.
No, but she said yes in a good way, though.
There's no good way to be obsessive. Like, there's no good way to obsess on anybody. And I want someone to love me. I want someone to like to be around me, but I don't want you to be obsessed with me. And vice versa. I don't want to be obsessed with somebody. That's a lot.
Well, I mean, have you had somebody who was obsessed with you before?
Yeah, and it was awful. Yeah. When they're obsessed, they don't leave. They're just like, I'm going to make some breakfast. You want something to eat? And they just like keep finding reasons to stay. And it's like, no, you got to go.
At 8K, I'll give you an obsessed story.
Yeah.
8K subscribers, I'll give you an obsessive story. Make notes. Okay. Please. Got a couple of stories to tell at 8K. So make sure you tell everybody else to hit that subscribe button. Next date, Brendan asks Annie if she's envisioned their life outside of the pods.
Mm-hmm.
She says she has. Do you believe her, though?
Yeah, I believe she has. I think anybody would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this experiment, I think you are going to, you don't know what they look like, but you're trying to picture doing things that y'all have talked about that you have in common, or maybe something that you're not familiar with, but they're into, and you're looking forward to like learning how to mm-hmm. do those things. So I'm sure, I believe her that she has, you know, been thinking about what it's like outside the pods.
Right. I thought she came off a little materialistic when she was talking about what apologizing looks like to her, because it all talked about the stuff you can buy, the expensive stuff you can buy. That's the, that means the bigger apology.
Well, she's letting them know, I like gifts. Gifts.
Yes. At least she's putting it out there up front, right?
Yeah, I like gifts.
What'd you think of when she says, I'm pretty sure I'm going to say I love you through the wall, but I don't want to say it first?
I didn't think anything of that. Mm-hmm. You know, to say she doesn't want to be the one that say it first, because I think everybody's in that situation, right? I've mm-hmm. been in relationships where I said I love you first. I've been in relationships where they said they love me first. Mm-hmm. It's a gamble, right? So I think she may be worried about the rejection factor. If she says it first and then he's like, yeah, you're not my person, now she feels rejected. So maybe that's why.
Hey, that's why they call it falling in love. You got to fall and hope they're there to catch you too. Next up, Nick and Annie. They have the sex combo.
Yeah.
But they've been having sex combos. So this is kind of.
Yeah, they've been having some good flirty banter. And Nick seems like he's as into her as she is with Brennan. Like Nick seems into her, right? He said he could see them going to our place in Denver, and that really excited Annie. And then he said he's putting it out there and validates her, which I think swayed how she feels. Because if Brennan was her number one, I think that date is the thing that kind of tipped the scale for her.
Now, interesting that happens next is because on the next day, Annie tells Nick that she has another connection.
Yeah.
But she feels like Nick is still holding back. Mm. Even though he's saying he's an open book who has never cheated on anyone, then they start having more the raising kids conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being raised religious with spankings. And then the question comes up, what if your kids said they were LGBTQ+? Annie says she'll support them, but not doing backflips. And then Nick tells a story about his mom thinking he was gay when he was a kid. It's like, no, I'm just depressed, damn it.
I can't. Never tell that story. I would never tell anybody, you know, my mom thought I was gay in my teens.
Well, But he's letting her know, if we get together, understand my mom is going to jump to conclusions.
I was like, that's the story I just wouldn't share. But it is what it is. But I liked her answer. Mm-hmm. I don't look at them as, I think it's just a realistic conversation. I don't look at anything they said as negative. It's just kind of real talk. But I have some concerns with Nick at this point.
Nick also had another connection, which was with Kate. They had three dates that followed in this, right? Where he tells her that he's so confident in their connection that if Kate felt like going back to the women's quarters right now at this moment, I'd be good with it. Did that make sense to you? If you want to end this date early, I'm so confident in us, we're good.
Well, that's because she wasn't feeling well. She had lost her voice.
Okay. I missed that
part. And so she's like, it's hard for me to talk. And he was like, hey, look, he goes like, if you want to go back to the pod and just rest, you know, I feel so confident in us that I'm okay with that. Yeah, so that's why he said that. But this is the weird thing about Nick here, because he tells her he loves her. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, what about all that stuff you told Annie? Because you haven't told Annie.
He didn't just only tell her he loves her. He says he's also in love with her soul.
Yes. Yeah, and then she says she's been falling hard for him too. So I was like, okay, Nick, you're playing both sides. Because when he told Annie he's never cheated, he's never done this, and he's an open book, no, I don't think you're that open because you're lying.
On the next date, they're talking family and religion. And it's interesting because in that moment, Kate talks about her mom's struggles and how that made her question if there is indeed a God.
Yeah, because her mom passed from cancer. Mm-hmm. And here's what was interesting in that story. She said that her brother said, how can there be a God that would let something like this happen? Mm-hmm. Now, if they edited it out, great. But to me, they didn't dig deeper into, Kate, do you still believe in God today? Mm-hmm. Or anything. So I thought that was left. Maybe if they edited it out, great. If the never conversation never happened, I think that was a miss on Nick's point to ask a follow-up question. So how do you feel about God today?
Well, funny you should say that, because on the next date, he goes in there and tells her he's being pulled in two separate directions because he got on another date with Annie. And then he's like, you know, he says this. And Kate is like, hold up. But 2 days ago, you just told me you love me. How are you being pulled in two separate directions?
Well, just yesterday, she said, you're my boyfriend. And he's like, yeah, my boo thing. Like, so he's committed. Mm-hmm. So then now how are you telling me a day later that you have another connection? Like, where's that coming from?
He said, well, you're not the only person that, and then she says, okay, well, if you said it so fast, it feels like you're love bombing me.
Right? Yeah.
Is she right?
I wouldn't say it's love bombing, but it is odd that you can tell someone you love them. And then 2 days later, hey, so there's someone else I'm interested in. I think that's just messed up.
It is. Somebody else's carpet is wet.
their carpet's a little more wet than your carpet. So I'm torn of which, you know,
and it's wet just carpet do I carpet. Go for? It's not a 1970s carpet.
I'm stuck between a rock and two wet carpets. I don't know what to do.
You know, things are going well still on this whole thing. Until Nick asks about religion. And Kate then says, well, I've never been a religious person. And things went downhill from there.
Yeah, because he got really a bit like, what? No, all that stuff you said, you know, when you were a kid, she says no. And then she goes, I told you that how could there be a God after what happened to my mom? Mm-hmm. Now, when she originally told him that, she said her brother said that. Mm-hmm. So he's asking, could you see yourself in the future, you know, trying to build a relationship, if we got married, like building a relationship with God? She says, nope, can't do it. So what I've always said about equally yoked.
Okay. In his defense, because the women are tearing him apart in the live chat, right? But she said she's never been religious. But you said previously you were raised religious. So that means never is very definitive.
Well,
it's not never.
I think there's a gray area in that, because what if you were raised a particular way, then once you became of age, maybe a teenager, you start questioning some things, and then you change your mind.
Right.
And then, okay, then the rest of your life. Yeah, but it's hard to say a three-year-old that's like on fire for Jesus. It's like, okay, you're three. You don't know a whole lot. Appreciate it. That's good that you're raised up a child in the way they should go, right? This is great. But, you know, come on.
Something being says he took that so personal because it's Nick's world. He's not a good guy. You agree?
I don't want to say that he's not a good guy. All I'm saying is I have concerns with the way he talked to these two ladies, because the way we're going through these dates is not the order exactly how it all happened. And he was having a conversation with Annie 1 minute and like, I'm going to fight for you. Then the next date he's with Katie. I love you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for us. Yeah. He just keeps going all over the place.
By the way, Shin SK says, I was raised religious and I never believed it as I was too logical. The nuns hated me. Yeah. Yeah. Get it? This is the end of the line for these two, because Nick literally is like, all right, well, you know, on that note, we out.
Yeah, this is not going to work.
Well, he's back to Annie. To your point, the whole back and forth and back and forth. Literally, I'm done with you. Hey, Annie, you are the one and I'm choosing you.
Yeah, I ended up with my other connection. It's you. It's always been you. And I choose you. And he says, I'll always make you feel reassured. Yes. I got you. And she says, I got you too. And he tells her he loves her. And then she says it back.
Of course. But remember, she did say she would say it, but he had to say it first.
Yeah.
But she was, even though she did say that to Brendan.
Right.
That means, but she's not going to say it. So Nick saying it first is great for her.
So and for that's her, why she was quick to say it back. Was she just waiting for who was going to say it first then?
Remember, Brendan was her number one.
Okay.
So, obviously, but then she then says she doesn't want to hurt her other connection. And Nick then says, well, that's what I just had to do to my other connection.
Yeah, I did. It's all right. You'll get through it.
He's cold. I'm not going to lie. He's cold in this. But he goes back into men's quarters and he's saying he's reassured and confident, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the bad thing. He's saying in front of Annie's other connection. He's saying in front of Brendan.
Yeah.
But Brendan at this moment doesn't know that, right? He doesn't know they're going for the same person.
No, I think he does at this point. He knows at this point.
Because then he's got to go in with Annie.
Yeah.
And when he goes in with Annie, Annie tells him that she doesn't think they've really had some serious conversations, right? And this is where I think... This reminds me of, what was her name on Love is Blind UK? Annie goes in and is like, okay, well, you haven't given me any serious conversation. Go ahead and make one last minute pitch. Tell me why I should stick around. Which is, I know she didn't say those words, but that's exactly what Katisha, there you go. Thank you, Tasha. Because it's the same thing Katisha did when she went in. Just, hey, rather than just break it off, let me go through and have this long convo first.
Yeah, and she asked, do you think this will work? You know, wanted to have a conversation with him about it. And she said that she doesn't know where he's at and she needs him to break it down for her, which he didn't do really. Mm-hmm. But he did tell her that, yeah, I do think it can work. And then it goes weird because then it almost seems like he's saying, hey, well, look, either way, you know, whether you choose me or not, I just take solace knowing that you're good. I just want you to be happy.
Oh, I like what he did there. He was trying to guilt her into submission. He's like, look, you know, you're such a strong woman. You'll be a badass mom to whoever you choose. Yeah, he was trying to guilt her into submission at that moment.
Yeah.
Right? Make her say yes. But then, or at least make her regret her decision, right? But then he even goes, look, if it's someone else, I just need you to say it. But she didn't. No. Why?
I don't know. And it could be because she's torn. Yeah. Right. She still has another day to think about it because the next day is, I guess, the day they're supposed to either get engaged or not. So maybe she's just torn. I don't know. I thought it was odd that she just didn't end it with him. And it didn't, to me, it didn't sound like he said anything magical that would make her think different than the person that she said, I love you to.
What about when he said, all right, well, look, don't open that gift. I wish you nothing but the best. And then he leaves. I thought this was over.
Yeah.
Because didn't that sound like a breakup conversation at the end of that?
It did. I thought it was over.
Then we see them on another date. What the hell happened?
Yeah. And he's coming in. I think this is his chance to shoot his last shot. He tells her he still loves her. And he tells her that he knows that she has Nick as another connection. Mm-hmm. And he tells her it's him who can give her the life that she wants. And he said, it's always been her and she's supposed to be with him. which I was like, okay, man, you put it out there. And she asked you earlier, the last date, like, where are you at? This is what you should have said.
Right. Which, because the bad thing he said in this is, that's, I was coming in the pods the other day to tell you this. Then why not say it then? Mm-hmm. If that's what you were going to say, then just say it. So this is where we get the cliffhanger of episode 4 as we get ready for 5 and 6, which is going to be a doozy. Matt, YouTube channel member Matt A says, what do the couples that get engaged early do while everyone else is dating? They don't, actually. It's just the editing that makes it like that. They all get, if you notice, every time somebody gets engaged, everybody else is waiting for them because they know they went to propose or not, right? So they all do it on the same day. It's just editing that, all right, let's not wait and do it all in episode 5. Just do it throughout. See, like Elson said, all proposals on day 10. So there you go. Couple of things that popped up in here too. Something to be said earlier, I commend Blake for leaving instead of settling for his number two. When Blake
I think he should have stayed. Explore your number two.
Which
I think
is
Blake should have explored his.
Patrick
did.
Patrick did it. Exactly. And to your point, this is what you're there for, right?
And Megan's doing it too because Blake was her number one. So she have just left because her number one left? She's like, let me explore 2 and 3.
Right. Because that just means number one wasn't right for you. Ariana says, I think Mike and Casey would have been a match. Do you agree?
Mike and Casey, he would cheat on her.
Yeah. Quickly. Yeah, Mike has way too much confidence for her.
Yeah.
Way too much. Now, J. Marie says about Jordan and the tattoos. He was already lying about the tattoos. Might as well keep lying. So it's playful. The interesting thing is what's going to happen when they meet and she sees that he has more than that because he's just talking about these one or two small ones, right?
Yeah, I don't think it'll bother. I think she'll be totally fine with it.
Interesting, because remember she told Mike she doesn't like tattoos. Toya says, I need Yanni to say notifications, right? See, I can. However, we like notifications. And Robin says, off topic, but Terrell, you look really fit and healthy.
Oh, well, thank you. I've been on a journey since June 16th and down 22 pounds. Feeling great, exercising 4, sometimes 5 days a week.
Look at you. Hey, appreciate you hanging out with us, man. Do us a favor. Please hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. And if you're listening on the audio podcast and from your favorite podcast platform, do us a favor. Please, if you like what you hear, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and a review. Matter of fact, we'll start. We got to get back to reading some of those reviews.
Yeah.
We'll be back Monday night for episodes 5 and 6 and getting us ready for the next batch of episodes to drop, which is what, 7, 8, and 9. So, and then we'll determine once that drops how we're going to roll them out. Thursday will either be 7 and 8 or just 7. And then Saturday will be 8 and 9 or just 9. So we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys. I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit on the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.